we have to be very, very careful. What we're talking is not so much democracy, we're talking organised hypocrisy. Hard facts.
Tonight, the world is learning more about a dramatic rescue from Syria and Canada's crucial role in this international effort to save lives. Civil defense volunteers, known as the White Helmets, were in deadly jeopardy. Government forces were closing in on them and their families in the country's southwest corner. Last night, 422 people crossed into Israel with help from Israeli forces. They were loaded onto waiting buses and taken to refuge in Jordan, but many others weren't able to make that crossing, and tonight their fate is up in the air.
The Israeli Prime Minister says that his country initiated the evacuation of the controversial White Helmets group from Syria at the request of Donald Trump and other Western allies. The White Helmets operate in rebel-held areas and have been linked to jihadist groups.
Several days ago, President Trump contacted me, as did Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau and others, and requested that we assist in evacuating hundreds of White Helmets from Syria. These are people who have saved lives and whose lives were in danger. Therefore, I approved their passage through Israel to other countries as an important humanitarian gesture.
If any further evidence was required to confirm that the wheels are coming off the West's strategic objectives in Syria, namely the overthrow of the country's secular government in Damascus, headed by President Bashar al-Assad, well, this evidence has now been provided. Because news that hundreds of members of the White Helmets, the controversial, if not notorious, Western-funded, equipped and supported supposed Syrian civil defence group have been evacuated by the Israelis from southwestern Syria to Jordan via the occupied Golan, doing so at the request of the UK, US and French governments, this crystallises the extent to which said governments have been up to their necks in conducting a dirty war in Syria these past few years, using groups such as the White Helmets as a propaganda asset with the objective of shaping the narrative of the conflict according to their own regime change agenda. Moreover, when I learn, as I only did recently, that the British government, via what it calls its Conflict Stability and Security Fund, has donated close to £39 million, which translates to just over $50 million, to the White Helmets over the course of the organisation's existence since 2013, establishing the UK government as the group's single largest donor, well, a big, bright red flag appears in my mind. Why? Well, clearly, such a huge sum of money, not forgetting the rest of the lucre the group has received from its various other donors, buys you a hell of a lot of torches, hard hats, water hoses, and sets of ladders. In other words, the kind of equipment you would associate with civil defence duties. But it also buys you a lot of guns, ammunition, bombs, and other military equipment too. Think about it. A supposed civil defence group embedded exclusively with Salafi jihadi head-chopping extremists in parts of the country they control and occupy in receipts of gargantuan sums of money from the West. Does anyone seriously believe for a second that not one penny or cent of said donations ended up in the coffers of Nusra, Al-Qaeda, Jaish al-Islam, or any of the other alphabet soup of such groups in the country? In fact, the more cynical among us, present company included, I might add, may tend to believe that the funneling of money from the West to these so-called opposition groups is one of the reasons the White Helmets was established in the first place, used as a convenient conduit in this regard. And what about Israel's role in this murky swamp of intrigue? Netanyahu, a man who never misses the opportunity to put lipstick on the pig of the indefensible, has boasted of the part his government played in effecting the evacuation, quote-unquote, of these individuals and their families from Syrian territory, just as the Syrian army and its allies were closing in. When I first heard about this development, I made the point on social media that this evacuation, though I would perhaps call it an extraction, was the equivalent of the evacuation of members of the Khmer Rouge from Cambodia in the late 1970s after Pol Pot and his band of torturers and murderers were chased out of the country by the armed forces of the People's Republic of Vietnam across the border. And extending this historical comparison further, isn't it interesting that London and Washington did in fact provide the defeated Khmer Rouge with covert support and aid after their expulsion from Cambodia in the late 1970s, along with military training in camps set up on the border with Thailand? It just goes to prove that when it comes to the West's malign record of participation in dirty wars across the globe, the wheel just keeps on turning. I'm John White, and this is Hard Facts. Well, Peter Ford is no stranger to this show. He is the former UK ambassador to Bahrain and Syria, a man who once sat at the heart of the British establishment, but is now one of its most vigorous opponents. Peter, welcome to Hard Facts.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure.
Now, Joseph Goebbels, the acclaimed master, if acclaimed is the right word, of propaganda, the craft, art of propaganda, if you'd like to describe it in such terms, he once said, and I quote Peter, "It would not be impossible to prove with sufficient repetition and a psychological understanding of the people concerned that a square is in fact a circle." I would suggest to you this describes to a T the attempt to paint the White Helmets as a legitimate civil defence force in Syria.
I would totally agree, and I would point to the latest British government statement issued last night in the name of the Foreign Office and the Department for International Development. It refers to the White Helmets seven times in a short statement as volunteers. Now, they are not volunteers. This word makes them seem like innocent rescue workers, but they are paid agents, paid by us with our tax dollars and pounds. You mentioned the figures earlier, £38 million in the case of the British Exchequer. They are on our payroll. Volunteers, they are not. But this is part of the British government's attempt to what I call a whitewash of the White Helmet. There's another aspect to that statement as well. The British government claim that the White Helmets have been helping all sides in the present conflict. Well, this is a blatant lie. It is simply a bald untruth. They have only been helping on one side, on the anti-government side, the so-called rebel side. They have not operated at all on the side of the government. So for the British government to claim that they have been active on all sides betrays, I think, nervousness on the part of the British government that the disguise will be seen through. They know that the British media, the supine British media, will not pick up on this killer detail, but they'll get away with it. They won't be questioned unless people like you and I can get this fact out there, that the White Helmets have not been helping all sides. They are not neutral. They've not been impartial. They have been jihadi auxiliaries from day one.
Now, just by way of a reminder, Peter, the White Helmets were formed in 2013 in the wake of a meeting that took place in Istanbul, I believe, between James Lemessurier, a former British army officer and private military contractor. Mr. Lemessurier was a product of Britain's elite Sandhurst Military College. He saw service in Bosnia, Kosovo, in the Middle East, including Syria, I believe, Palestine and Lebanon. He sat at that meeting in conjunction with the now discredited Syrian exile opposition group, the Syrian National Council, and the Qataris. Now, Mr. Lemessurier carries about him the inescapable whiff of Britain's legacy of dirty wars in the Middle East, in Africa, in Kenya, Malaya, and also closer to home in Ireland. He seems like a character to me straight out of a Graham Green novel. Tell us what you know about Mr. Lemessurier and how such people exist in the cracks of British foreign policy and have done for many years.
Well, it's odd, the coincidences here. It seems that you have to have a Franco-British name to qualify for this club. There's John le Carré himself and another character called Hamish de Breton Gordon. another ex-military type who has been peddling gas masks from paid for by the British taxpayer through the white helmets. Le Mesurier.
So this gentleman you just mentioned, he has a company producing gas masks that have been provided to the White Helmets.
Indeed, the costs probably run into millions, and this has been funneled through the Department for International Development. It's quite scandalous the conflict of interest here. And this individual keeps popping up in the media whenever there's one of these faked alleged chemical weapons incidents. This so-called disinterested expert, the BBC, never point out that he has a mercenary interest in this issue, by the way. But he pops up to pontificate and usually with the message that, yes, it was Syria who used chemical weapons, so we all need more gas masks.
Now, you wrote a very hard-hitting response to the government's official statement justifying the quote-unquote evacuation of these members of the White Helmets and their families. And one of the questions you asked, I'd like to repeat, and I'd like you to elaborate on it if you would. You asked a question in response to the British government's official statement, and I quote, "Why was it deemed necessary to evacuate this particular group in the south, that is the south of Syria, when other groups of White Helmets simply got on buses in northern Syria, when military operations concluded in Aleppo, eastern Ghouta, and elsewhere? And when similar exodus by bus has been arranged for rebels in Dara?" What do you mean by that, Peter? What are you getting at with that question?
Well, it's very fishy that this particular group of White Helmets are being given this exceptional treatment. They could surely have hopped onto buses that were departing Dara along with hundreds of other of their jihadi colleagues. They had that option. And yet, somehow, they have made their way to the Israeli border. I dare say there was a plan that they would always evacuate that way. Possibly, and I am admittedly only speculating here, because they have incriminating information about how the Douma incident and other alleged chemical weapons use incidents, how they were fabricated. And the last thing that these characters wanted was to fall into the hands of the Russians, who would have made short work in extracting the truth from them. And now, this truth could have been extremely incriminating for the British government. You may recall that around the time of the Douma incident, there were reports that British operatives had been actively involved. Hands-on involved in fabricating the incident.
And we also know about the extensive network and very sophisticated, the constructed tunnels throughout Ghouta.
Which must have had outside expertise
state
well.
Support. They must have had state support for sure. And also the fact that has to be borne in mind is that the OPCW carried out recently an on-site investigation of Douma and confirmed that no nerve gas was traced there. There was no nerve gas used in that vicinity. The vicinity in which White Helmets operatives were claiming that the attack took place, sending out pictures, the infamous footage of children and civilians stricken in that hospital, only later to find out the doctor there confirmed to the Independent reporter Robert Fisk that it was all nonsense. It was all, as you say, fabricated. In the second half, Peter, I'd like to get into the consequences of these White Helmets being repatriated or given sanctuary in Western countries, because I want to flag up the horrific Manchester bombing in 2017 under those kinds of circumstances. You're listening to Peter Ford. This is Hard Facts, and we'll be right back.
We have to be very, very careful. What we're talking is not so much democracy, we're talking organised hypocrisy. Hard Facts.
Welcome back to the second half of Hard Facts. I'm sitting down with Peter Ford, former UK ambassador to Bahrain and Syria. We are discussing the explosive revelations that hundreds of members of the White Helmets have been extracted from southwestern Syria by the Israelis to Jordan via the occupied Golan. Peter, the Manchester bombing in May 2017 was carried out by a young Libyan by the name of Salman Abedi. His father was a key member of the Libyan Islamic Fighting Group, an Al-Qaeda affiliate, which was active in the 1990s up to around 2010, where they were finally chased out of Libya by Gaddafi's forces. Many of them sought and received sanctuary in the UK, Manchester in England being the main centre of this Libyan dissident group or dissident community or Libyan community with dissidents in it. Salman Abedi had been to Libya in 2011. He took part in the so-called uprising there. He received military training, as did his father and others. It is a fact that control orders under which they were kept in the UK under supervision were lifted. Reports suggest they were lifted in 2009 by the Brown government, and their passports were returned to them in early 2011 by MI6. Thereafter, Salman Abedi carried out his vile deed. 22 children were killed, hundreds more injured, some permanently. My word, we're talking about repatriating some of these white helmets who we don't know what they've been involved in this occupied territory. We've seen footage of them dancing around, toting assault weapons under the black flag of jihad, posing smiling over dead Syrian soldiers, attending executions carried out by these extremists. Surely we're sowing dragon's teeth by accepting some of these individuals back in the country, are we not?
It's a huge risk that we're taking. And you can see the government are nervous about it. That's why they produce their I use my words carefully, lying statement. They're obviously nervous and they feel that they have to smuggle it past public opinion. That it's an enormity that we should allow into the country these suspicious individuals. Did we know, for example, that their head, a guy called Raed Saleh, was refused an American visa in 2016 on security grounds? And yet here we are, saying, welcome, we'll give you houses, we'll give you a monthly stipend, we'll support you to the hilt. I dread to think of the extra security policing costs that are going to be necessary to keep tabs on these individuals, and we don't know how many, scores probably, possibly hundreds with family members, and they will all have to be monitored extremely carefully if we can be feel in any way safe. As you mentioned, John, these are individuals who are known to have associated with terrorists, with Al-Qaeda and Nusra, ISIS. This has been well documented.
And it's reasonable to speculate that they share the same ideology as these groups, as these individuals. At least some of them do.
Well, to quote President Trump using a double negative, there is no reason not to believe that they didn't share motives with Al-Qaeda and others. No, transparently, these are jihadi sympathizers. They wouldn't be doing what they do if they weren't sympathizers with the jihadis. They all belong to the same sect as the jihadis. There is not a Christian or an Alawite among them, or a Shiite. And these are the people that we want to usher into the UK. God knows which unlucky communities they will be parcelled out to.
And that's, sorry, Peter, this could have negative consequences for the existing Syrian refugees who are here, who are not involved in this kind of activity. They could all be tarred with the same brush. And there could be a backlash against all Syrians, regardless of what they were involved in or what their reasons are for being in the country and other countries. Just to make the point, it's been revealed that the UK, Germany, France and Canada are all taking some of these individuals in. But the point stands, doesn't it, that this could lead to a backlash against the existing Syrian refugees?
Well, I'm in touch with many Syrian citizens in this country through the British Syrian Society, and many of them are very unhappy at this red carpet that the British government are putting out for these jihadi auxiliaries. It will tend to tar all Syrians in this country with this dangerous brush. They're not happy about it at all, and many of them are now signing the petition, which has been got up opposing the entry of these individuals into Britain.
And just on that, it's worthwhile to establish a point that not all Syrians living in the UK are refugees. Many of them are here for different reasons. They've come over to the country to study and so on. Moving on, Peter, to the role of the mainstream media, because the kind of conversation we're having now, the hard questions that we've been asking, they've been notably absent in mainstream coverage of the White Helmets. Indeed, on the contrary, the Guardian newspaper, the liberal newspaper of record in the UK, and other mainstream media outlets, the London Times, and obviously in the US, CNN, New York Times, they have extended themselves in acting as almost like the press office of the White Helmets. Let's not forget this group won a Nobel Prize for a documentary that was made about them a few years back. George Clooney and other Hollywood celebrities have coughed up thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in private donations to this group. It is quite astounding, the operation, the propaganda operation, the attempt to use the White Helmets as a force of absolute good among so much absolute evil on the part of journalists, not one of whom would dare set foot in any inch of occupied Syria where these groups dominate, because they know that as soon as they did, they would be abducted and brutally murdered in the process. And yet they still have been making the case for the White Helmets as a kind of third force between the Salafi jihadists, who of course they can't be seen to support, and the Assad government, whom they want to see overthrown in accordance with their own government's wishes. This is the death knell of journalism in this country, is it not?
I agree. It's not for nothing that the White Helmets have a press department which is 150 people strong. 150 in the press department. That is more than the press department of the entire UK fire and ambulance services.
My word. They almost have a bigger staff than the ambulance service in total, given the cuts of this government.
And we're paying for this at a time when we're cutting the fire brigade and ambulance services.
UK taxpayers' money has been devoted to this.
It makes you don't know whether to laugh or cry, but it makes me weep. The media, yeah, the mainstream media coverage is almost laughable. They keep using this keyword volunteers. It's all about hype and slant and framing. Use of selected terms instead of the at least neutral employees, but volunteers.
Making it even worse, Peter, is the fact that rather than to ask the hard questions that we're asking and others are asking, they've been attacking those of us who've been asking those hard questions, lampooning us as Assadists and conspiracy theorists, and yet we've been proved right. So these people should really hang their heads in shame over the way that they've conducted themselves and over this PR operation they've carried out on behalf of a Salafi jihadi support group in Syria over these past few years.
That's right. I think you made a very acute point when you said that the Western media like the White Helmets because they appear, or they're made to appear, as a kind of third force, the moderate face of the Syrian jihadi militants. That is basically why they are lionized. But they have an absolutely pivotal role in the conflict, because it's their staged chemical incidents which have led to two incidences of Western bombing, unprovoked Western bombing against Syria. And as I speak, the same White Helmets, another group of them, are busy in Idlib preparing the next fake attack. This is why it's so important for us now to use this latest dramatic development to draw attention to the unreliability of all the official information, to draw attention to how our government is lying about the White Helmets.
Indeed, and what does this say about the conflict in total, Peter? I mean, the Syrian government and its forces and allies on the ground are in the process. slowly but surely, of consolidating their control over the entire country, restoring the country's sovereignty. They have a large holdout, I understand, you just mentioned it, of Salafi jihadi groups, white helmets included, in Idlib province. But it seems to me that the Americans, whether they want to, whether it's on a sotto voce basis or not, are gradually withdrawing from that theatre. The Trump administration cancelled US funding of the White Helmets in March, and up to that point the US had, as I mentioned in the introduction, donated $33 million of US taxpayers' money. The Trump administration had brought an end to the CIA-run operation, Operation Timber Sycamore, to provide training and arming of designated opposition groups. This was begun under the Obama administration. It seems to me that the US is slowly but surely withdrawing at the same time as the Syrian government forces and its allies are consolidating their control of the country on the ground.
Well, I think the US government has more than one policy. And the conflict between the arms of government is now transparent. The White House has one policy, which is basically to tiptoe away, to withdraw the American presence, while the Pentagon and the intelligence agencies have another, which is to double down. And although some funding to the White Helmets was cut as recently as a month ago, they were sent over $6 million. No, U.S. policy is completely incoherent.
Do you think this incoherence is reflective of the struggle in White House in Washington over the Trump administration?
Absolutely.
Do you think it's suggestive of, yeah?
Absolutely. This is the deep state against the forces of populism. I simplify, but I think this is absolutely correct. And it's now coming out into the light of day, when heads of intelligence agencies take to the stage to criticize or laugh at the president, when on the eve of the president's important peacemaking trip to Helsinki to meet President Putin, they release deliberately intended to be embarrassing material about the so-called Russiagate. It is absolutely clear that the deep state has got President Trump in its gun sight.
You've been listening to Peter Ford. I'm John White. Until next time, remember, the only facts worth taking seriously are hard facts.